WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
This week, with digital coupons at Safeway and Albertsons, get beef rib roast for $7.97 per pound. Member price with minimum purchase of $50 or more in a single transaction. Exclusions apply. See store for details. And broccoli, cauliflower, or russet potatoes are 97 cents per pound. Member price, limit 6 pounds. Plus, selected sizes and varieties of Lucerne butter, cheese, or Philadelphia cream cheese are $1.97 each. Member price. Visit Safeway or Albertsons.com for more deals and ways to save.
All right, welcome, Life Strong family. It is my pleasure to have you all here today. As usual, I've got something special for y'all. I've got from all the way, Houston, Texas, right?
Houston, Texas.
now she's hailing from Houston, Texas, but I didn't meet her in Houston, Texas. We'll get into that in a minute. But all the way from Houston, Texas, Miss Shannon Savoy. Now, hold on. I knew you. Let's go back. We met while we were both in the Army, right?
Yes.
That's what I remember. And I remember Shannon. We were both in BNOC together. For those that don't know what BNOC is, oh my God, do I have to explain? I gotta explain it. All right. So BNOC is kind of it's a school to most sergeants go to in order to begin the whole leadership process. And that's where I met, at the time, Miss Johnson, or Staff Sergeant Johnson. All right. So Savoy is new to me, but we're going to get into the whole Savoy and all that. But how are you today?
I am awesome. It's just good to be here and just to be on your platform. I love what you're doing. So I'm glad to be a part of it. And thank you for having me here.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad that you took the time to be with little old me today. I appreciate it. So now you have a nonprofit. Is it NARC Free Living?
It is.
NARC Free Living. Now, hold on, y'all. Don't. She's NARC Free Living does not mean don't tell on nobody. That's not the NARC. Not that kind of NARC. We are not talking about that kind of NARC, people.
Right.
All right. So explain what NARC Free Living is all about.
So when I went through an experience, I don't know. I'm giving you the Cliff Notes version.
Oh.
So I went through an experience where I dated and married a narcissistic sociopath, unbeknownst to me. Okay, so went through that ordeal and then went through it with my family. This is a very short version. We can get into it if you want to.
We can go as deep as you want. But before, can you explain what that is?
So which part? The narcissist or which part?
Well, a
narcissist, we run across them every day, and most people don't realize they are in a narcissistic relationship or they come from a narcissistic family. And then when we get into these relationships, we begin to question, like, why is this person doing this? If this person is abusive, if they're emotionally abusive, if they're sexually abusive, psychologically, they'll play with your mind. Sexually, most abusers, all abusers are narcissists, but not all narcissists physically abuse. So we think physical abuse is just someone who hits on us, or abuse is someone who just hits on us. Right. But abuse comes in so many different forms, and those people are usually narcissists. So, but we don't classify it as narcissists, but most of those people who abuse, they are narcissistic in nature. So that's what a narcissist is. Someone, you'll start to see the signs, you'll start to Google their behavior, or little red flags will be raised and you'll kind of ignore them. They'll start to, you know, sometimes in relationships, they'll say mean things, or they'll lash out ragefully at you for little of nothing. They'll lie on you, they'll steal from you, and they'll just abuse you in every way. And then, because we're sometimes groomed to think this behavior is okay, or even if you know it's okay, you love this person, so you don't pick up on the red flags as much as you should. So you begin to normalize that behavior. So yeah, it runs so deep, but that's kind of narcissism in a very brief nutshell.
Oh God. Okay. Yeah. Now, and something interesting you said that some of us, or some people are, I think the term you used was, we're bred or groomed to think that is okay. Can you elaborate on that? Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. So when I married a narcissist, you know, I was like, oh, okay. So I married a narcissist. How did I get here? After I got out of it, right. You begin to examine yourself. How did I get here? And then as I began to examine my history and ask the hard questions, God started to reveal the answers to me, and it was shocking. And I had to look at my childhood, and I had to look how I was raised, what I was raised, what environment I was raised in. And even though I came from my mother, my stepfather was the only father I knew, so it was still a two-parent home, but it was still emotionally abusive. And it was psychologically abusive. And I came to learn that they were narcissists. And
now, you didn't realize that until
just very recently.
Wow.
Very recently, when I started to ask myself the hard questions. Yeah. So I didn't realize that I had been groomed to accept abuse. I had been groomed because I was sexually abused by my stepfather. It taught me that love, because he told me he loved me.
Wow.
It taught me that love and abuse can coexist. Mm. So when you see those behaviors and those words and that's modeled to you, it subconsciously sends your brain a signal that love and abuse can coexist. Okay, my mother says she loves me, but she allowed.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready. Before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
Him to abuse me. Now, that's the only love. It's not love, but that's the only love that I know. So I think it's okay for somebody to abuse me on some psychological level. I think it's okay for somebody to abuse me, right, and then they can turn around and say they love me. And I accept that because I want to be loved so bad. And it's also rejection and all that. I want to be loved so bad, you know, that I will accept whatever my parents gave me, because they were my models. And essentially, I was groomed to believe that love and abuse could coexist. So, yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow. Okay. So, I guess it's safe to say that people in those type of relationship, or in a relationship, or having past relationships, whether it's with parents or siblings, and we'll get into this a little bit deeper, but because you're at that young age and that's all that you know, it seems like it's easy for the process to repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat, and we're talking through generations of narcissistic abuse. Really interesting that you said. You said, I think, let me make sure I get it right, because I don't want to mess it up. You said all narcissists. No, you said all abusers
are narcissists, right? All narcissists physically abuse.
Okay. All right. So there's And I know people already understand this, but I know there's more than just physical abuse. And you hinted at that. You said mental abuse.
Yes.
Verbal abuse, sexual abuse.
Yes.
And then you mentioned there are red flags. That's what you said, red flags.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about these red flags to someone who may be in this type of environment.
Yes.
And maybe not even realize or maybe just realizing, what are some of these red flags that you can explain to tell someone, okay, it's you.
Right. Okay. These are some of the red flags, some of the most common ones, especially you're a young person, you're in a relationship, but these are definitely some of the red flags that you should look for. Mm-hmm. First is, I would say, no accountability. Okay, when you bring something to someone that if they hurt you, it's in a healthy relationship. Anthony, if I hurt you, you should be able to come to me and say, look, Shannon, this is the way you made me feel. Maybe not intentionally, but this is what you said, how it affected me.
Right.
And if I'm healthy, I'll listen to what you have to say, take it into account, and I'll apologize, and then I will change the behavior. But in a toxic relationship, there is no accountability. In a toxic relationship, if you come to me with something, I'm going to, one, fly off the handle. I'm going to project those feelings back onto you.
Right.
I'm going to lie. And when I say project, I mean whatever you say, or deflect, whatever you say that I'm doing, I'm going to say you're doing it. You know, and I'm going to say you're doing whatever it is that you just accused me of.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's no accountability. I'm going to lie. I'm going to gaslight you, which is essentially saying, you know, it's I'm going to make you feel like you're crazy for the things that you say. Oh, wow. You know, those are some examples. Oh, wow. I can't believe you said that. Knowing all the while I did it, you know, but I'm going to make you feel like you are crazy. And that essentially, once you start hearing that enough, it's a tool to make you question your own sanity. It is so insidious, and it's so like cunning. You can't believe that somebody that you love is doing that to you. So you're like, you think this person loves you, so you want to be able to trust what they are telling you.
Right.
But if I'm an abuser, I'm using your trust to my advantage. So when you bring something to me, I'm gonna, you know, gaslight you, make you feel like you're going crazy for bringing things up. I'm gonna get so angry where you don't even want to bring things up. I'm gonna intimidate you. I'm going to bully you. It could be physically. And then the emotional abuse, that's cheating on you constantly. And people think, oh, because we see that growing up. So we don't realize, you know, in our mothers, with our mothers and parents and dads, we think that cheating is just a normal part of relationships. Oh, he cheated on her. We see it on social media with in the shade room, you know, who's cheating on who. And all they do is buy them gifts and then they take them back. You know, so that's, we think that's normal. Or we see the rappers who spend years cheating on their girlfriends, and then he loves bomber. That's another red flag. You love bomber. I'm gonna go back to that.
Okay, I was gonna say, yeah, you're gonna go, well, you throwing some terms, and I'm like, man,
right? They love bomb him, and then they, you know, the girl just, or the guy takes them back, you know, and that's it. So love bombing is when, especially when you first meet somebody and you just think like, oh my God, this person is so awesome. Like we get along, we click, he likes all the same things that I like. She's telling me all the things that I want to hear.
That's what everybody strives for though, right? you just meet that person. I mean, you want to put on your best face. So, you know, especially guys, you know, we're going to try to say the right thing. We're going to try to, you know.
Right.
So.
But you want it to be your face, not somebody, not the mask.
Not everybody. It's not,
do things that you can maintain. You don't do things. And again, I meet Tony one day, and then the next day I'm meeting Andre, and Andre is crazy. So you don't flip the script on somebody. Okay. You do things. You may, you know, of course, when you're in a relationship, you're going to do things in the beginning that you just, because it's new.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running.
Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With VerboCare, help is always ready. Before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
Right.
But those things are still things that you can maintain throughout the course of the relationship, and you don't flip and turn into a totally different person when I tell you no, that's a red flag. When I tell you no, and then it's that person flips out on you. Because with a narcissist, as long as you're doing everything that they want you to do, usually you'll see they'll be okay. But it's when you should be allowed, when you tell somebody no, mm-hmm. or you can't do anything for them, and you see another side of them, that is a big red flag.
Mm. Oh, okay. Okay. That's okay. Now let me ask you this then.
Mm-hmm.
You promised. You said we're gonna go back to what was that term? We do need.
Oh,
to go,
love bombing.
Yeah, we need. Well, you hinted on that.
Yeah.
But I'm a little, because it just seems like, man, this is scary. It just seems like dating. And that's what it seems like. It seems like dating, and now I'm like second guessing every. I'm happily married now, but I'm even second guessing how I met my wife, and I think I love bombed her.
That's normal when you guys are gonna pull out all the stops, but with love bombing, it moves very fast. The dating process, because they have to hook you. So they want to hook you early. A lot of times they want to have sex with you. If it's, you know, a girl, young guy, they want to spend all their time with you. And if you're somebody who grows up in a home where you didn't get something, where you didn't get the emotional support, where you grew up without your father,
right.
you didn't get that there's a father wound there, or there's a mother wound there, especially as a teenager, you are so impressionable. And you're going to subconsciously search for whatever it is that you didn't find at home. So a little girl, you know, finds a guy, he has the nice car, and he's saying all the right things to her, you know, and he moves in fast. He sends her gifts. Her brain is like on cloud nine. She's like, I found it. And he's telling her, you know, I'm your soulmate. Or the girl meets a guy and she's like, I feel like you're my soulmate. And then they come in, and once you're hooked, and like I said, they want to establish those soul ties with you early. They want to have, you know, physical intimacy with you. So that way, now when those red flags come up, you're like, no, you start to question yourself.
Right.
And that's exactly how it's designed. And they move in fast on you. So all your senses are like overloaded. And then when they finally reveal when Andre finally comes out, now it's like.
Somebody, you know, named Andre is going to be listening. And
I'm sorry to Andres. I hope y'all are not narcissists.
Somebody named Andres. Like,
all Andres are narcissists.
he's gonna be like, oh my god, what did I do?
Right.
So what can I? Because it seems so scary. Because it seems that sounds like a reoccurring theme to young people. I don't want to say young women, because and men, gentlemen, this happens to you as well as the young ladies. But it seems that that's a reoccurring thing in many of the youth.
Yes.
What, I guess, I mean, you can't go into the households all the time, because a lot of times it could be the parents. It could be siblings. It could be so much. So, what can we do in order to, I guess, for lack of a better term, cut it off at the pass?
Right. So when you start to, and as a teen, it is, because it's just so much you don't know. But like, this is what I tell my daughter. She's 19. I'm sorry, 19. She's 17. It'll be 18 next week. you know, starting college.
He's trying to kick her out.
Right.
She ain't 19. Look. Today.
And she's mentally ready. But because she's gone through some, you know, some things being a brown skinned woman, especially young lady, you know, in this world where the society, you know, where, you know, the lighter your skin is, the more socially acceptable, you know, you are. So if you're a darker skinned, you know, young lady or young man, you know, society tells you that you might not be as, you know, as cute. And you're a cute person, but society would try to put those stigmas on you. And we all wrestle with those insecurities. But no matter what somebody tries to tell you about yourself, you have to begin to tell yourself, I don't care what you look like. Mm. I don't care if your hair is short, your hair is long, yeah, one eye go, this one, whatever you are, you have to begin to love yourself no matter what somebody else tries to tell you. Because when you don't know who you are, there will always be someone to tell you who you are. So we have to begin to tell ourselves, I tell my daughters every morning, get in the mirror, I am beautiful. I tell her that all day long. Tell my son that you are a young king. You are a young queen. So you can begin to act, you know, because you're gonna act however you subconsciously think that you are.
Right.
So when you don't know who you are, somebody will try to come along and tell you who you are. So you, as a teenager, especially at that age, start to tell you, look in the mirror and tell yourself, I am enough. No matter what somebody has tried to tell me about myself, I want to be more and I can work to become more. So, you know, you got to work on that self-esteem,
right,
and you know, love yourself. Now, try to begin loving yourself.
And that's, you know what, it's in a lot of communities, mm-hmm, what you just said, the self-esteem thing. You've gotta love yourself. You've gotta have, and some, I see a low self esteem, mm-hmm, coming from young individuals today.
Yes.
What could be, I guess, the main issue? Why are we having? Because I see so many things, that and. People are always say, well, your generation was different. Well, not really. not really. I just think we dealt with things a little bit different than the way they are. Being bullied or being, you know, called a name, or, you know, somebody laughing at you, that was a way of life. I mean, we dealt with things differently. I'm not saying that the way we dealt with them was always healthy. Not going to say that. But it seems like nowadays, young people take it to the extreme. Is that because of, again, what we were just talking about, generations of people just going through relationships or you know, of dealing with people with narcissistic tendencies?
Yes. So I'm going to answer your question in a few ways. This is what I see it. Like, okay, so I love studying history, right? Mm-hmm. I love studying the Bible, history, urban culture, everything.
Okay.
Oppressive techniques. When you are in an oppressive society, the first thing the oppressor is going to do to you is take away your identity. That's even in jail. That's in the military. They're going to strip you down and they're going to take your identity away. They're going to take everything that you know, everything that you love, and look how it was done in slavery. Look how it's done even in the military. Mm-hmm. Look how it's done. So they break you down, and that's the same thing a narcissistic relationship does. You go in full of life. You go in feeling like you know yourself and your family, you know, in all walks of society. Right. They break you down. So then I can, once, if you don't know who you are, if I can strip away your identity, if I can strip away your identity as a Black young man,
right,
and I can give you this music and I can give you all these other things that start to get in your mind and tell you who you are, and you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. Your family doesn't really know who you are. Hey, if I'm the oppressor, I'm already winning. I'm sitting back because now I can tell you who you are. I can tell you you're a thug. I can tell you, you know, if you're a young lady, I can tell you you're promiscuous or you're a whore or whoever you are, and you begin to act in that exact same way. So when you don't know who you are, anybody can tell you who you are, and you will start to believe them.
Wow.
So that right there is 101 basic, you know, oppressive techniques. So I take away your identity and I tell you, you know, what you feel about yourself.
Right.
And generationally, for a lot of minority families in particular, you got to remember we're still overcoming the slave mindset.
Uh-huh.
We're overcoming all the things that you know, in the 70s, that was our, you know, parents' generation. That's when, you know, crack and alcohol was on every corner, just all the different dynamics. And we're seeing that play out, you know, today, how that has affected our kids. And then before our generation, like kids nowadays, they talk about things a little bit more. Like my generation in my household,
we didn't talk. Yeah, we didn't talk.
Right. That's when I started to see more of the narcissist. When I studied this, that's when more of that came in, because women started to be elevated in the home. Fathers were taken out of the home. If you wanted welfare, if you wanted government assistance, the fathers came out of, had to say they were out of the home. Then a lot of them, some of them were rolling stones and making babies otherwhere. It's just so convoluted. So if you, all that is like battling, you're battling yourself, you're battling your family, you're battling generational curses. So now, you know, because the sins of the fathers affect your children, whether your father is there or not, whatever is in him, whatever, that's in your bloodline, that's in your DNA. So whatever is he's dealt with, people like, well, my father was an alcoholic, you know, it's something in his brain. That's your DNA. That from a spiritual perspective, that is that generational curse that's being passed down from one person until the next, until somebody comes along and say, you know, Mr. Chappelle, I want more out of life. Right. You know, this is what my family is. This is who I come from, but this is not who I want to end up being. Because where you start does not have to be, you know, where you end up. But it takes that person who is a warrior, is a fighter inside of them, and they know, like, I can make it out of here. And those are people you see make it out of the hood, make it out of their environments, because they see, they know it's something inside of them that wants, that doesn't want status quo. I don't have to get pregnant at 16 and, you know, do like every other girl is on the corner. I know I want to go to school. And that's why mentors and people like you are so important, to let them know there's a better way. You know, just let them know, just be an example. I can do things differently. I don't have to get somebody pregnant. I don't have to do what everybody else is doing. I can do something different.
Wow. Man.
I never said a lie.
No, you're fine. No.
No. Now, my bad.
No. So now I'm gonna bring it, I guess, closer to home, because I remember, and I'm going, when I met you, when we you know, for what, how long? BNOC was what?
What year was that? That was 2000.
Was it that long ago? Oh my God!
Right, you old.
Woo.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do. From the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being. Because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
With Verbal's last-minute deals, you can save over $50 on your spring getaway. So whether it's a mountain escape with friends, a family week at the beach, or sightseeing in a new city, there's still time to get great discounts. Book your next stay now. Average savings $72. Select homes only.
So, but one of the things, and this is, I guess one of the, and I'm guilty of it. This is one of the misconceptions somebody can have. When I met you, I would have never thought that could happen to you. And the reason being is because what I saw was a strong black woman. I saw a professional. Professional soldier, a soldier's soldier. And
right.
I never would have thought, from the outside looking in, of course, that number one, that is going on in her life, or number two, that it could even happen in her life. You would have been one of the ones that I said, nah, no way. Ain't no way. So having this experience, and all of the success that you have had, because you went on, retired, CW4, you've had successes after successes after successes, and being in that relationship does not make you weak.
Right.
But I guess the question is, how can someone find that the strength that they have? Because at one point you had to find the strength that you had it.
Yes.
Was it displaced? Were you afraid to use it? Because a lot of people will say, well, and they like to throw women under the bus on this, because, you know, they say, well, she can't do anything because she doesn't have anything, and she can't get a job, and she can't do this. And that wasn't the case with you. It couldn't have been,
right?
Because, you know, she had her own career.
Right.
She was moving on up.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it that sparked you and said, you know what, you are stronger than this. This is not you.
Right. When I was in that relationship.
Yes.
So I knew when he started showing those symptoms, like, I knew something wasn't right. And that's when I started looking. And if you look at my history, and this is why it's so important to examine your history. When I got out of it, I had to ask myself the hard questions. I had to hold myself accountable. Like, how did you, this strong black woman, educated, making six figures, just all the things that the stereotypical, and that's, it's no stereotypical, but that's what they want you to think. Oh, somebody who gets abused looks like this. Somebody gets, you know, it's a man, it's a woman.
Right.
It's,
and you fit none of those blocks. So, none of them.
So that will also keep you down. That also kept me in it longer, because it was like almost like I wanted to prove to people, or prove to somebody, I don't know, that I don't know, because I was part of the facade. So I had pictures on social media, like I was, like we were, you know, happy, knowing.
Wow.
We got into an argument. He was beating my butt. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And I was fighting him back. So I guess I was fighting him back. So I didn't know it was abuse. You know, if you fight back, it's not abuse, is it? That's what I didn't know.
Wow.
And as crazy as it sounds now, at the time, that's why you have to look at how you grew up. I grew up seeing, you know, abuse. I grew up seeing that love and abuse can coexist. So what he took me through, it was really my family. Let me start here. Like, when I grew up, my family always told me about strangers, you know, look out for these people, look out for these people. Nobody ever told me look out for the people that you love. You know, no, outsiders never hurt me. I never let outsiders in, because I always had a wall up.
Right.
I never had a wall up for people that love me. They could take advantage of me. So if you loved me, if you were in my inner circle, all the people who hurt me were close to me. Outsiders couldn't hurt me, because I knew not to let you in.
Right.
I didn't know not to let. So if you my husband, you're in there. You know
say,
what I mean?
Yeah, you're getting me closer.
Right. But you're the person who is trying to kill me.
Wow.
You know? So that's how you end up in those situations, because first, number one, I didn't think I was getting abused until I don't know if you saw that picture.
I saw it. I was going to get into it. I saw it. And it was, wow.
Yeah. So I didn't know I was getting abused, number one, until that night. And then that's when everything started to come together. Then he got more strategic. He wouldn't hit me. Then the emotional abuse got turned up, the psychological abuse, because he would like bully me and intimidate me and like push, you know, like he became more sneaky with the abuse. Wow. So I couldn't tell on it. You know, it wasn't nothing I could take a picture and say, you did this to me. Because if you try to talk to somebody about it with narcissists, they don't believe you most of the time because it's so hard to explain. So I didn't know I was getting, aware that I was getting abused. And then I didn't fit the mold of whatever that's supposed to look like. Because I've talked to men, women, yeah, girls, boys. There is no profile for an abuser, and there is no profile for a person that's getting abused.
I think that's attributed to like the media,
yeah,
television. You know, you see the quintessential woman who is being bullied or right, you know, treated that way, you know, skinny, mm-hmm, meek, you know, oh, you know, right, that. And so that's kind of what people expect.
Yes. And if I'm fighting back, I don't think I'm abused, because I'm fighting you back. So you hit me, I'm hitting you back. So, but as crazy as it sounds, it's still abuse.
Wow. So
a lot of women don't think, a lot of, and men too. Well, men don't realize they can be abused too. And you think it's cool for a woman to be slapping you when she get mad at you?
But that's our upbringing, because I know I was taught, okay, even if she gets mad and she hits you, you don't hit her back. I'm like, well, what's she touching me? What's she hitting me for in the first place?
Neither one should be touching.
Yeah, but so it's just crazy that's the way that we're taught. And then when we get into these type of relationships, everybody's screaming, get out. And we're like, wait a minute. But that's not what I was taught, so I gotta stick this out. Meanwhile, right, I'm getting tattooed upside the head. I remember I was, oh, Lord. Without going into a whole lot, I knew a woman that used to beat her husband. When I say beat him, I ain't talking just slap him upside the head. I'm talking.
Wow, that's sad.
Throw him in the furniture and get to wailing on him. And I'm like, bro, get up out of here.
Right, but it's the same thing you would say to a woman. Like, you tell him to get out. You know,
I'm sitting there screaming. I'm screaming like Apollo Creed. Get out of the corner, Rock. Get out of the corner.
Right. God. You're like, I'm hanging in there. Yeah,
and you know what? They're married to this day.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they're married to this day.
I hope she settled down.
And
right.
Anyway, they're married to this day. But I'm like, wow. Behavior. Mm-hmm. Sprouts right forth that kind of behavior. That's crazy.
Right.
So now,
Tony.
Yes.
Can I answer your Anthony? Can I answer your other question?
Yeah.
Because you asked me, like, you carry yourself so well, but I will tell you this. Now, I hope you write your question down.
Okay.
So this is what I wanted to say. My wounds work for me in the military. They work for me. So that perfectionist spirit that I grew up with, that because my mother was so critical of me. So I learned to be a perfectionist, you know, so that worked for me in the military. You know, I had like OCD, you know, so that works for me when you're in the military, because I'm hyper focused. That allows me to be good at my job. You know, if I can't. And then we were in IT. I'm a problem solver. So when something comes up, it was my role in my family, in a narcissistic family. You have scapegoat. You have a invisible child and a golden child. I was the golden child and the scapegoat. So I'm the one that's blamed for stuff, and I'm assigned to fix everybody's problems, whether it's financial, whatever kind of problem it is. So that works for me if I'm in IT. So when somebody comes to me and say, hey, my computer works, I know I go into automatic fixing mode, because that's what my wounds, that's how I was groomed. When somebody has a problem, I'm on it. I'm on their problems. I'm on it. So that worked for me in the military. And then when I got out and started to really examine my family and started really
examining. It's 15 hours.
Sorry about that. And started to really examine everything that I had been through, I was like, oh, wow, this is not working for me anymore. And that's when I made a choice. Like, I have to shed. I have to get my family out of me in order to go to the next level where I'm supposed to go. And they may not be going with me.
And, that's got to be hard, because to come to that realization after you've relied on family, especially, I mean, for those that don't know, the lives of a soldier or somebody in the military, we rely heavily on, you know, family. We rely heavily on, you know, words of encouragement. If it's nothing but, hey, you know, hey, just hang in there. You're doing great. Really proud of you. That goes a long, long way. So, and then to get out of the military and say, you know what? None of this was right. No, this wasn't right. And so that had to be like earth shattering.
It was eye opening. Like you said, like everything that I thought I knew, from spiritual to just how this world works, to just our culture, just shedding those toxic traits, just everything. It's like everything that I thought I knew about myself, everything I thought I knew about my family. I was like, gosh, it's a lie. Like, do you know? Wow. So what is that telling me about myself? You know what I mean? What does that tell me about who I am?
So did you go through a whole period of relearning you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely. So I was just like,
you were full.
No,
you were a whole adult. You were a whole you.
Right.
A whole you.
So imagine how people, when they're younger, you think you know everything. Tony, when we were in BNOC, I thought I knew. I thought I had it together. I thought I knew where my life was going to go. If somebody could have shown me a glimpse into what I was going to go through, that's why God doesn't show us everything. That's why he gives us a little bit at a time. Because hadn't he shown me everything that I was going to go through with my family and my ex-husband, I'd have been like, nah, I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to stay right here.
That's not cool.
Right. I got to go through that to get my healing. I have to go through that. And that's what most people do. It's comfortable. It's what you know. So it's you know, like they said,
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
Want a game-changing way to watch college basketball? With a one-day pass from Sling, get instant access to the men's and women's tournaments starting at just $4.99. You can catch all the action on TNT, TBS, ESPN, and ESPN2. Want even more hoops? Then add an extra pack to your subscription for just $1. No overpaying, no overcommitting. Just tournaments so crazy, they be crazy to miss. Visit Sling.com to learn more. Sling lets you do that.
Devil, you know, is better than the one you don't, right? You know, and that's what caused us just to stay stagnant and to stay, you know, where we are versus being like, nah. But then something will come and it'll shake your world up. And you have no choice. And that's what happened to me. I could either sink or swim. And I was like, no, I'm choosing me. For once in my life, I'm choosing me over everything else. And if I have to leave everything else behind in order for me to find me, oh, okay, I'll do that. Yeah.
Wow. This is, I'm like, man, I saw the pictures. Mm-hmm. I saw the pictures, and I got to admit, my first instinct was, nah.
Right.
Not her. I mean, that was...
Right.
That was... And then the next instinct was, as a man, I was like, nah, this ain't even cool. You know,
right.
This ain't... No, wait a minute. Hold up. And so now that you're out of that situation, you mentioned the word healing. Mm-hmm. Now, in order to be healed, one must have to, I guess, come to the realization that they are, that there is some affliction in place. And when you say that, that those aren't kind words, especially when you're talking about you. What do you mean? I'm afflicted. I'm sick. I'm what? Mm-hmm. Hold up. Mm-hmm. So how can, I know you gave the red flags about the narcissist. Mm-hmm. How can someone spot the red flags about themselves to say, you know what? I do need healing.
That is such an awesome question.
Well, thank you. No,
it really is. Look, it just gave me chills. That is such an awesome question, because that is the question I had to ask myself. And, you know, I'm a part of, you know, like different groups and therapy groups and online organizations and different things. And a lot of them talk so much about the narcissist. You'll see them, narcissist this, narcissist that. But at one point, and I just posted about this last week, at some point you got to say, you got to stop pointing the fingers and ask yourself, what attracted me to this narcissist? What attracted this person to me? And why was I attracted to this person? Ooh. So that's what I had to ask myself. And I had to say, something in me has to be unhealed, or something that I am not aware of that is operating in me. Because people will say, oh, they're just attracted to your light. Yes, they are absolutely attracted to your energy, your light, all of that. But there is something in you, once you see the red flags, once you see the mask fall,
right,
it is something in you that makes you stay and tells yourself that this is okay. And that's the part that I had to deal with. Mm. I said, what part of me thought that this behavior was okay? And why did I tolerate that? And I was like, no, I love myself. Do you? Mm. Do you? Can you love yourself really and allow yourself to be in a narcissistic relationship? And I tried to tell myself, no, I'm confident. I'm no.
Wow. And
then I started looking deeper. I'm saying that with my mouth.
Right.
But are my actions showing that I truly love, honor, and respect myself? And then again, that's when I had to look at how I was raised, look at how I was groomed, and not to blame anybody, but just to examine. Okay, so not that my parents are just horrible people or anybody, right, they're right. Unhealed as well. You know, they went through trauma of their own to be like they are. Mm-hmm. So I had to start looking at myself. What about me attracted this person? And when I went back, I saw the signs. I saw that when I told my mother that I was molested, I told her, and you know, her aunt, she did really essentially nothing about it. So what does that send? What signal does that send to me? You know, if my own mother did not protect me, what does that say about me? That tells me subconsciously, and I'm not even aware that I'm operating the power of my subconscious mind. I'm operating in a way that tells me that love and abuse can coexist. It tells me that I am not enough. That's what that tells me. So in order to be enough, I have to perform. I have to do all these things. I have to give all this money. I have to, because that's what I've always done. I always gave and I always people pleased to my family. I always did that so they would love me. That's how I got their love. And I didn't realize it. And I was doing the same thing in my marriage. You know, I was sending signs out that I did not love myself. So if somebody else, if you don't love yourself, nobody's going to come along. You know, people treat you how you allow yourself to be treated.
Wow.
But when I started loving myself, I attracted different people. Because if you're unhealed, you're going to attract unhealed people. You know, so I started looking really at myself, you know, and I looked at him as well. But the hardest part was looking at myself to see, you know, what about me attracted this and how did I think this was okay? And when I finally examined it, I got my answers. And then sitting with yourself and being totally honest with yourself, that is something a lot of people can't do. Wow. So they point the fingers back at everybody else. because it's easier to blame. I can blame you and be and walk away and feel okay about it. But when you sit with yourself and you examine your behaviors, that's when you'll get your answers, and that's when healing can begin. Because now I recognize it. So right. Now I recognize the symptoms. I recognize how I thought like that and why I thought like that. And now I can begin to do the work on myself, the inner work on myself to say, hey, this is not okay. And this is who I choose to be from here on out. I choose not to let anybody violate my boundaries. I know that I am enough. I know that I'm enough to set boundaries and standards for myself. And this is how I'm going to act accordingly. And when somebody comes up and doesn't honor my boundaries, I don't get upset with them. I just remove them from my life. Mm. If I can't have a conversation with you, now if I can have a conversation with you, awesome. But if I can't, I don't get mad. I just block, delete. I'm not letting you just disrupt my peace. So when you don't know who you are, you don't know what your boundaries are because you haven't been taught that, you allow people to do things to you that you should not subject yourself to.
How can one find themselves? How can one say, you know what? Here I am, a young adult, or even a seasoned adult, mm-hmm. and say, I'm coming to the realization that I don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
What's one of the first steps or some of the first steps one can take to begin the process of learning who they really are?
One of the first things I would say, this is what I did. I had to look at who I was. Who was I? And I had to take honest accountability, an honest assessment of who I was in that moment. Okay, this is what I think I know about myself. Okay, uh-huh. And I actually wrote the things that I thought I was on this paper, who I was in that moment, you know, what, however ugly it was, however pretty it was, whatever it was, this is what I think about myself. And then I drew a line and I said, this is my code of conduct. This is where I want to be. This is who I want to become. And I actually have that. I wrote all those steps down and I wrote who I wanted to become. And then I wrote down the actions and the behaviors that will get me to where I want it to be. But first, in order to do that, you have to be totally honest about yourself, about who you are. Mm-hmm. And then once you do that, you can begin to know, you know, where you want to go. You might not always like it. You might not always like who you are in that moment, but you have to take an assessment to begin to know yourself. And you have to begin to take time and sit down with yourself, just like you do with your girlfriend or your wife or your family. You sit down with them.
Yeah.
You sit down and you talk to them and get to know them. You have to sit down with yourself to know who you are.
Mm.
And you have to journal and write that stuff out. Men, boys, therapy. If you need it, take it. You know, whatever avenue helps you to learn more about yourself, but you have to be willing to sit with yourself. And some people, we can sit with other people's, but can you sit with yourself long enough to identify who you are? So you have to take that time for yourself.
That's a whole, yeah, because, you know, you know, therapy and the young African-American male do not coexist. That's a whole nother story. That's something else down the line. But so how can someone reach out to you at NARC Free Living?
So I'm on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, every platform under NARC Free Living LLC. I also have my website, www.narcfreeliving.com, and there's a contact us section in there. Mm-hmm. So you can reach me on DM me on social media, on IG or any of those, and you can reach out to me and I will definitely contact you back.
All right, y'all. So you got the skinny on how to get a hold of Miss Shannon Savoy. Shannon, I appreciate you stopping through and divulging and all this information. And for those that may think that they may be in a narcissistic relationship, please reach out to NARC Free Living. You heard her. She said DM her. DM her. I mean, hit her up on the slide up into her DM. No, I'm stuck. Slide into her DMs.
Right.
Yes. we appreciate you stopping by. This was awesome. Thank you again. We didn't put a cap on it. That we talked about the old, but yeah. The new. I knew her as Johnson, y'all. It's no longer Johnson. It's Savoy.
Right.
So newly married. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. Right. Thank you. Yes, so there is life on the other side of any situation. So, yes, I got remarried in 2018. So, and he is nothing. Your healed eyes and your unhealed eyes choose completely different.
There's
a different type of a young king altogether. So,
all right now.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right now, congratulations, Savoys. I just like the name. Savoy.
He's from Louisiana, so.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Savoy. but I appreciate you stopping through. I wish you and your family the best, especially in this whole pandemic thing. You guys stay safe there in Houston. We hope that we can get you back at another point in time. This was awesome. All right, fam. This concludes this episode. All right. As we always say here at Life Strong Podcast, hey, live long, live strong. All right. We'll see you guys on the next episode of the Life Strong Podcast.
WSECU isn't just one of Washington's best credit unions. We're a Forbes Best in State 5 years running. Why? Because we put you first. Lower fees, early paydays, financial guidance, and service second to none. As a member-owned cooperative, we love Washington as much as you do, from the Olympic Mountains to the rolling Palouse. Join us and discover how much we care about your financial well-being, because what we really do best is invest in you. Visit WSECU.org today to learn more. Washington, let's credit union.
When you manage procurement for multiple facilities, every order matters. But when it's for a hospital system, they matter even more. Grainger gets it and knows there's no time for managing multiple suppliers and no room for shipping delays. That's why Grainger offers millions of products in fast, dependable delivery, so you can keep your facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.